If you've enjoyed The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. For any size donation, we'll send you an autographed copy of my book, Celebrating the Saints. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. You can also make a gift by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Not a single one of us knows when the hour of our death will arrive. The Holy Spirit in the Scripture urges us to prepare for it every single day.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of John.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Oh, greetings, people loved by God. Jesus had just told them not to judge by appearances, but with a right judgment. And that right judgment only comes when a person wants to do the will of the Father in heaven and then can recognize that Jesus is the doer of that will par excellence. All his miracles attest to the fact that his Father had sent him and sent him because the Father is merciful and kind and wants you to have life in his Son. But the crowds, they're still shaking their heads over him, trying to make sense of all of this. So on to today's reading, John chapter 7, picking up at the 25th verse. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from. And when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from? But I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" John 7, verses 25 to 31. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, your Holy Spirit and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but a free course, and be taught and preached to the joy and upbuilding of your holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig in? Verse 25, some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ?" Remember that when he had just confronted the Jewish rulers with their murderous intent toward him, they had cried out, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Well, Jesus wasn't making that up. And here you learn that the people of Jerusalem, at least some of them, know that he's not making it up. They know that their authorities intend to do Jesus in, to kill him and eliminate the threat that he poses to them. And yet, the authorities are hesitating to act. I wonder if they were shocked by how bold Jesus was, knowing the trouble they intended for him and still openly, publicly, without hesitation, teaching in the temple, teaching because he loved the people and they needed to hear what he had to say. And he wouldn't be cowed by the likes of the Jewish authorities. Maybe his great boldness and courage surprised them and led them to back down a bit. And the people then began to wonder, might there be more to this story? Might it be that they even realize that Jesus is the Christ, that is, the promised one, and that's why they're not moving against him as they had originally planned? But the people are befuddled at how Jesus could be the Christ. So the next verse. But we know where this man comes from. And when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. Now, where did they get that idea from? I mean, Micah had foretold that when the Christ came, he would be born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. Matthew relates that the scribes could answer Herod's inquiry in Matthew 2 without any hesitation. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah? Further, Isaiah had foretold that Messiah's ministry would be carried out at least in part in Galilee of the Gentiles, where the nations would see a great light. Maybe, though, they were thinking of Malachi? And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Suddenly, well, that sounds like a surprise. But I'm not sure it implies that no one knows where the Christ would come from. St. Augustine, in his little treatise on John, thought it was because Isaiah had said in chapter 53, verse 8, his generation, who shall tell? But ponder their bold statement. We know where this man comes from. Probably meant they knew he was a Galilean. That will be the case certainly several verses later in the chapter, where the Jewish leaders will dismiss Jesus out of hand with harsh words to Nicodemus. Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. 7 verse 52. What is odd is that the Jewish authorities would later confess of Jesus after he had healed the blind man, we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. John 9, verse 29. Interesting, no? They're carrying on this conversation about him, but he picks up on it, and he addresses them directly. So Jesus proclaimed, as he taught in the temple, you know me, and you know where I come from. But I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I came from him, and he sent me. St. John the Golden Mouth, who has been so helpful in our study of this gospel, that great 4th century bishop of Antioch and Constantinople, he reads more along the lines of a question. You know me, do you? Then you know where I came from. They were thinking, we know him. He's the carpenter's kid from Nazareth. Jesus is thinking, I'm the Father's son from eternity. I came from him, and not on my own accord or on my own initiative, if you will, but on his. He sent me to you, and he is true. And you all do not know him. I know him. I came from him. He sent me. Chrysostom wrote, and when Christ says, I am from him. He speaks not as a prophet who learns, but as seeing him and being with him. Augustine says, Christ says this to invite them. Therefore, seek from me to know him. I love that. He's telling them that he's the very door to the Father's heart, and by getting Jesus, they'll get his Father also. So they were seeking to arrest him. But no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. They understood clearly enough what he was saying there. Again, he was clearly making himself equal to the Father and the Father's only Son. And in their ears, that just sounds like blasphemy. And so they did want to arrest him so that he could be tried and dispatched. But John the Evangelist adds that enigmatic statement. No one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Oh, people loved by God, he lived in the peace of that. The hour was coming. It would arrive. And then there'd be no reprieve till he died the death and defeated the grave and freed us from our sins. But till that moment arrived, he went about in the peace that his hour would come at the Father's timing, and he just had to wait for it. As a side note, you can live in that peace too. How did the psalmist put it in Psalm 139, verse 16? Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Not a single one of us knows when the hour of our death will arrive. The Holy Spirit in the Scripture urges us to prepare for it every single day, realizing that this may be our last upon the earth, that our final breath may come this very day. But this you can rest assured of. Your final day will not arrive apart from the hour fixed before you were ever born, the hour fixed by your Heavenly Father. He's not promised any of us a certain amount of time in this world. He has provided for every one of us a Savior, who in his own time and in his own way will lead us from this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven. That you can be sure of. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, when the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done? Despite the best attempts of his adversaries to discredit him, Jesus really did win a lot of people over by the signs, the miracles. They were convinced that everything the prophets had foretold that Christ would do, Jesus was doing. And doing in spades. I mean, think about it. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstop it. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Isaiah 35 was unfolding before their very eyes. And seeing those great signs, they came to faith. This man who is the carpenter's son from up in Galilee, he has to be the Christ. St. Augustine again. The Lord made whole the humble and the poor. The rulers were mad, and therefore they did only not acknowledge the physician, but even were eager to slay him. There was a certain crowd of people which quickly saw its own sickness, and without delay, recognized his remedy. What about you? Do you see the sickness in yourself and realize that you need his remedy too? Do you despair of ever fixing yourself? I sure hope so. Because to those who know that they by themselves are lost and hopeless, Jesus comes, giving a hope and a promise that will fill the heart with joy. May it be so for all of us who witness his miraculous signs from the pages of Scripture, so that we may look upon his cross and resurrection, to which they all point, and join the crowds in believing and confessing that this man truly is the Christ. The church delights to sing Luther's great paraphrase of the Nicene Creed. We all believe in Jesus Christ, his own Son, our Lord, possessing an equal Godhead, throne, and might, source of every grace and blessing, born of Mary, Virgin Mother, by the power of the Spirit, Word made flesh, our elder brother, that the lost might life inherit, was crucified for our sin, and raised by God to life again. There's God's remedy for you. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. For any size gift by the end of 2019, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Wheaton's devotional book, Celebrating the Saints. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.